B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch them.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.406 in the evening on a re-entry Monday. We've hit on everything. Celtics and that disaster over the weekend and the state of the team. Probably the lead story. Also hit on the Bruins as their deadline is now 2 weeks from today. And how do you treat that team? The new football league debuts over the weekend. Maz even had a baseball minute for you. Your thoughts on everything. The aforementioned Mike and Woburn's on the line. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I agree with you for the most part. I think the replay would be great. It wasn't my favorite thing about the whole AAF experience. The level of violence that we are missing from NFL football, and it was back. It was back. That hit on that quarterback helmet is flopping around on the freaking ground like James Earl Jones's head at the end of Conan. That was freaking amazing. I absolutely love that. Not a flag in sight either. And another thing that they don't have, there are no defenseless receivers. You go and stretch out for a pass and expose that rib cage. Look out. Look out, because somebody on that defense is getting ready to lay you out. Like, this is what we like about football. I'm sorry. I like the violence. They gave me the violence. There was less kicking, although I would like an onside kick that was sort of like one of the battle scenes in Braveheart. Yeah. Just sort of lob the ball up into the middle of a bunch of guys that are duking it out and see who actually comes up with it. Give me more of that. Apparently they must sign waivers, or else Polian is going to be owing these guys millions of dollars, like when the concussion lawsuits come out. They must have these guys sign ironclad waivers, because they're making peanuts, and the level of physicality is just oh so delicious.
Well, thanks for the call, Mike. That's what football should be. So in my new USFL, sign concussion waivers. You can't sue the league for concussion damage. You know the risks. Play, don't play. It's up to you. I'm being forced to do it. And then we're going to eliminate all these fricked rules that protect this guy and that guy, and we can get back to a violent sport. And if you don't want to play it, you don't have to play it. But if you are going to play it, you sign a waiver. There's no lawsuits, and let's go. Like, that's, I think there's, as Mike illuminates, there's a large portion of America that misses that.
Oh, I know. I was one of those people. I mean, I found that so refreshing. So many of those. Not just that quarterback hit, which I finally showed to Maz. How great.
Oh, my God.
But there were so many moments I was like, I remember this. This is football. There's no flags. This is the violence I love. And remember what it used to be like in the NFL.
So I'm with Mike from Woburn, though. There has to be some agreement there about, you're not suing the league for any kind of, head
Absolutely.
Injuries or whatever. There has to be. That hit he showed me, oh, my God. I haven't seen a quarterback get hit like that since, I don't know. I have no idea when. I mean, that guy would have been... I'd say 15. He'd be thrown out of the game for that hit now.
Banned from the league. Ron in Texas with a Celtics thought. Hi, Ron.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Back when LeBron made his decision when he was going to go out.
You faded on me. Okay. I'll put you on hold because I'm in a good mood. Alan in California has a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, guys. Back to the Celtics. I'm running out of the room because I had the TV turned up. Okay. I think this situation has already imploded. I think our worst fears have come true, and I think Danny should think about trading as many guys off the team as he can, except for Tatum.
Well, so hold on,
so
Alan.
So
why blow up the whole team? I think there's a case to be made, and I've started to raise it the last couple of weeks, that this whole quest that they're on to get Kyrie, trade everybody for Anthony Davis, Hayward, Irving, Davis, the big money, the NBA, superstar, this transformative trade might be more trouble than it's worth. It's not working so far. I mean, I think we can just say that. It's not working so far. Hayward, and some of it was bad luck. Hayward got hurt. But Irving has not made you a better team somehow, even though he's a brilliant player. He hasn't made you better. And Davis feels like an uphill battle because he doesn't want to come here. And so it's like, is all that worth it as opposed just to doing what you're doing and building through this draft? And building through the players that you already have. I think there's a case to be made there. So blow it up. To me, I think you need to pick a direction.
So go ahead. You're beating me to this.
Oh, go ahead.
Ainge's got to pick one or the other. He's straddling it right now. This is the problem. On the one side, you have Kyrie Irving. You know, let's just say
the problem is the timing because of this stupid Rose rule. They couldn't pull the Anthony Davis trade now, so they're in a little bit of a holding pattern. But I think Danny Ainge wants to blow it up and bring in the big three, and like that's what he wants to do.
So I think he's headed in that direction too. But for the moment, let's say that Hayward is a plus and a veteran guy.
Yep.
So you have Irving, Hayward, Morris. You got all those guys on one side, and Brown, Tatum, Rozier on the other. Which one is it? Like you can't keep both. It's just not going to work.
So half of me says, you know what? Screw Kyrie. It's more trouble than he's worth. More trouble than he's worth. He hasn't made him better. He should, but he's not. He's a brilliant-ass player. He's just tremendous. But he hasn't made him better. Anthony Davis doesn't want to be here. So you're going to trade kids for a guy who's going to be on a one-year flyer? Like, just trade Kyrie, forget the Anthony Davis thing, and, figure it out from... Half of me says that. Half of me does. The other half says, well, you can't win without superstars, and those guys are superstars, and they're a headache, so see you, Tatum, and see you all, see you those guys. In the meantime, you've sacrificed this season because maybe that's crawled in those kids' head.
Okay, so what do you want? Do you want a team that you like that goes 50-32 and loses in the second round, maybe gets to the conference final, or do you want a team that can win a championship?
Well, like I said to you before.
Well, you got to pick one.
Well, no.
The latter.
No. I told you the middle play, and that is you let Horford's deal expire, you let Kyrie go. You'll have room for a max contract here in a year or two, and you hope that Gordon Hayward does what Paul George does, which is
take
2 years to come back, but Hayward comes back. Tatum develops into that legit NBA superstar. Brown develops into that nice piece. You've got room for a max contract, and there you go. And then you go in 2 years, you go and you sign your, name it, Klay Thompson, whoever's the big NBA free agent in 2 years.
Yeah, and what happens if at that time... you're not good enough.
I know, but there's a lot of what ifs. What if you trade everything for Anthony Davis and he goes to L.A. like he wants to?
Yeah. So, look, to me, if the Anthony Davis thing's there, you do it. Now, look, I want some assurances. In fact, if I'm Ainge, in the scenario you're painting, I sit down with Kyrie Irving and say, look, we got to make a choice here. We got to pick one or the other. So if you're going to stay, I want to know, but you got to stay for more than... We're not doing a one and one.
Here's what's obvious. What they have going now is not working. They have all the talent in the world.
Mike, they're straddling it.
It's not working.
They're straddling it. It's not working because they got two totally different, paths that aren't convergent. One is these young guys who think that they're building towards something, and they're not. And the veteran guys who say, why can't these young guys see this? So they got to pick.
Ron in Texas, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So for me, it all started back when LeBron went to the Western Conference and he made his decision over there. And it wasn't even, about a week and a half later, I'm looking at a Jaylen Brown interview on TV about talking about how they were so close to beating him. And it was like they knew that they had LeBron, right? He wanted, and now that he's gone, it's our East. And I'm listening to all this. And then Jason Tatum's, he's working with Kobe Bryant and the Mamba mentality and everything like this. And now it brings me back to the fact that they really thought that they were just going to roll their jersey out there and the logo was going to go ahead and win them games. And to me, that's what's showing their colors right now, is that they didn't have anything to fight this year because they were fighting themselves. They were the team to beat. They were on the top of the mountain, and they haven't even done anything.
It started from day one. They had the wrong mindset from day one. And we said it, and like, you're the a-hole. But no, it turned out to be the case.
They're just, I think the phrase we were using way back then is they're not as good as they think they are. And to me, I don't know if you could have nailed it any more perfectly. That has been apparent from the very beginning. You got guys talking about getting to the finals, winning championships, and they've never accomplished a thing.
Matt in the car, give me a quick Bruins take.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so if you think about how a few years back, Sweeney went out and got John Michael Lyles and Lee Stepniak for that Bruins team, which didn't even end up making the playoffs, and they were honestly terrible compared to this year's group. If he was willing to do that for that team, he should be willing to go out and make a move or two here. And then you guys were talking about Riley Nash a bit. This could have changed since, but a couple days back I was looking, and Nash and Schaller from last season combined had the same amount of points as Wagner. So I give any credit there, and I just think Wagner's a beauty. You see that hit on Oshie? Beautiful. And
yes.
No specifically either.
Okay, so Wagner's been a nice piece, but I want him on that fourth line that was going, and that. But that's not the. He's not. He doesn't play center, does he? And excuse me if he does. I don't think he does. But it hasn't been good enough. They don't have a third line. Even with Wagner there, they don't have a third line. I purposely left Stepniak off my list. I said, you know, they got a Riley Nash. They got a Chris Kelly. I've left Stepniak off because I don't think he worked. But that third line kind of talent is out there, and it's cheap, and you've been devoid of it the entire season. The entire season. And that's inexcusable not to replace that, not to go out and find that. And now you're 2 weeks from the trade deadline, and you're 27th in the league in 5-on-5 goals. That's pathetic.
I mean, that's a bad sign. The year they won the cup, they were first.
Okay, so, like, you can make a deal without blowing up your whole structure and breaking the bank for a Panarin. You can go get a third-line guy, which they've needed all season long. That's my Bruins take today. Get back to your thoughts on everything right after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think that I need to look at myself first and figure out what I can do to help that not happen. If that means we need to play different rotations, call different things, you know, start differently in quarters than we are, you know, whatever the case may be, there's an answer out there and we have to find it.
How much responsibility do we put on Brad Stevens? Big Jim Murray linked to a tweet from just a guy?
Yeah, he's just like one of these NBA it's part of NBA Twitter. I think his name is Dork Nowitzki, I think is his handle on Twitter.
I don't know what that means, part of NBA Twitter. Is that a special Twitter?
Yeah, there's segments of Twitter and there's NBA Twitter. A lot of people just commenting on the big stories in the league.
Okay, NBA Twitter. This guy tweeted. I don't know what that means. I can't believe the Celtics' nerdy-ass dork coach who never played in the league and excels at drawing up out-of-bounds plays and seeing his players as statistical vehicles to execute his analytics-focused offense can't fix his fractured locker room. A little sarcasm there. How much blame do you put on Brad Stevens for the state of the Celtics' locker room?
Well, some. Yeah, again, it's not all his fault because the roster is what it is. You can almost see it coming. But the fact is he doesn't have a lot of experience in dealing with it. And so everybody gets 20 minutes every night. That's what it feels like. No matter who it is, Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris, Hayward, he's trying to keep everybody happy. And so the Celtics celebrate this whole depth thing. You know, we run nine deep, which is great. Are you going to play them all in the playoffs? Is that what it's going to come down to? No shot. You're going to play the guys who are playing the best, so you better start putting that into effect now.
And there's times where he's acted like he does have his finger on the pulse of the team, and he's trying to hold guys accountable. What was the horrible game a few weeks back where he called the timeout like 30 seconds into the game?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I can't remember where
but
it was.
Still, well, because, I mean, there's been so many of them this year with this group. Amazing, they're still in the fifth seed. Either way, there's times like that, it's like, okay, you're gonna screw someone over here? You're going to do a little bit of, you know, not so much yelling, but, you know, make an example, cut some minutes, and there's times where he has. But then these last couple of games, it just feels passive-aggressive to me, where after the Lakers loss, he's saying, well, it wasn't up to the basketball gods tonight. We didn't deserve to win. Did you tell them that, or are you just saying that in front of the camera? And then some of the stuff he said after Saturday, too, it was like, okay, you're talking about how that L.A. Clippers team was so cohesive, and they're playing like a team. Sure, we all saw that too, but did you tell your players that? Are you upset with them in telling them that? Because it just feels like, I don't know, the message isn't getting through, especially to young players like Tatum and Brown.
Well, Maz, when you say, you know, we're not in college anymore to him, what do you mean by that?
I mean that he tries to keep everybody happy. The whole thing in college is a group mentality, and frankly, it was his show. So that, you know, it was about his system, and honestly, he's a teacher. Like in college, you are led to me, coaches usually fall into one of two categories. You're either a teacher or you're a drill sergeant, one or the other. And in the NBA, you need to be more of a drill sergeant than a teacher. They know how to play the game. And at the end of the game, and I'm not telling you the system doesn't matter because to a degree it does. But at the end of the game, systems break down and it frequently comes down to a star player making a star play. And so in this case, you now have star players on your roster. You need structure. You need You need to make it clear to your roster who are the starters, who are the guys that play at the end of the game, and who are the guys that come off the bench to just fill scrappy roles. You know, for lack of a better term, like a fourth liner in hockey. That's what your bench guys are in the NBA. I don't think the Celtics know that. I mean, Kyrie's clear. Okay, and I think to a degree Horford is clear, although he's not fully healthy. Everyone else, I don't think they know. I don't think they have any idea how it's all who's going to be on the floor at any given time in the key moments because the coach doesn't make it clear to them.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on this and everything else. Steven in Fall River wants to weigh in on the AAF. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I liked listening to what you guys were saying about it. I completely agree with all the violence. I think that those hits were amazing. The one thing that I definitely liked about it, too, was the Skycam. I think that nice little view over there, I think that was actually pretty good, too. And the one thing I know, I heard Felger, he was talking about, like, the running backs to pick in. One guy I wouldn't want to see back in the NFL was Trent Richardson because he was averaging, I think, like 2.9 yards a carry. He looked terrible.
I'm just saying, Steven. My point is, this isn't a real league. This is a developmental slash minor league.
Trent Richardson's there for a reason.
Okay, but I mean, it's just, but I think there's a whole slew of players that don't make the NFL that there's a market for.
Sure.
Especially in these college markets. And look, the thing outrated the NBA. Now, I know it was a debut, so, but I didn't even know the thing started this week.
Me neither.
I mean, did you?
No, I didn't either.
Did you even know?
No.
You just flip around and, oh, there's a football game, and actually you sat and watched it because we are addicted, like, you know, to crack with football. We watch it. We will watch it. And I just think there's a place for not a league that challenges the NFL, but is between what this AAF is and what the NFL is and what the USFL tried to be and could have been. I just think there's a place for it. People will watch it. And in certain markets, they'll really watch it. And there's players to fill out rosters. I just think there's a slew of interesting players that aren't good enough to make the NFL that people would still want to watch. Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel. I'm just thinking, I can give you a handful of quarterbacks.
I mean, those are two great ones. Like, that's exactly the kind of player that could thrive in a league like that.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what that league would be there for. There are 4 million running backs on the planet. That it really, and again, this I don't want to open this whole argument up, but I hate to bring it really doesn't matter. They're all the same. And so, like, I remember the old USFL, they were excellent running backs because they're everywhere. They grow on trees. And, like, the whole thing, too, with the way that's played in college, and it's soaring to creep into the NFL, but not really, like, open that up for the... Well, I mean, I'm just talking about because it'll never happen. But I just think there's a place for a real spring product, not this thing. Not this thing. I mean, it may last because they're not spending any money, but I just wish someone gave it a real go. A real go because I think it would work. Carney in the car. Go ahead, Carney.
I don't get how Danny Ainge has been in Boston for 20 years. He's won one championship on a trade for Kevin Garnett that anyone would have made, and that he's looked at it like the greatest GM. You tweeted away Kendrick.
Okay, so your phone's crapping out, but you're on my side of the street. One title in 18 years. Any other GM would be on the hot seat. He's not. Because he pulls off these trades that are just such pork jobs. I mean, grand slam home runs. His trading. Now, the Perkins one he lost. Like, that was a bad one. That may have cost him a championship. I think it did. And not enough people mentioned the Perkins trade. But other than that, the Garnett trade. The trade dealing the big three, the old big three, to Brooklyn for that haul of picks. What you just did to those poor slobs in Philadelphia with the Markelle Fultz trade. I mean, just go down the line. As much as you hated them, the trade to get Isaiah Thomas was a freaking fleecing. The Isaiah Thomas trade, I mean, the Kyrie Irving trade on the face of it's a fleecing. We need to see how it all plays out, as I've been saying. That story isn't written yet, but on the face of it, like, you know, that's good return on your value there. His trades are so freaking good that people look at him as a genius. And some of his draft picks. I mean, for the whole consensus of the NBA to say 1-2 is Fultz ball, Fultz ball, Fultz ball, and you go Tatum, and Fultz doesn't belong in the league, and Ball, can he even play, makes Danny look like he's so far out ahead of the game that he gets all this deference. And I think he deserves it.
And he got an extra pick on top of it.
Okay, so it was just such a pantsing of the Colangelos in Philadelphia, and what he did to poor Billy King in Brooklyn, and what he did to poor Kevin McHale in Minnesota, and some of these trades are he's just killed it. And some of his draft picks look like he really knows what he's doing, but it's one title in 18 years, and that's not mentioned enough, I don't think.
No, absolutely it's not mentioned enough. And I think that, look, the part of it is the league, okay, part of it. But I also think that it's, you know, Ainge is now at a point where he's got to pick. You know, to win a championship in that league, you've got to fully commit to, like, star players. I look at what has happened here over the last few years. Which teams have won titles? They're all loaded with stars. Whether it's Kawhi Leonard, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, right, or LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, you know, Klay Thompson, like, it's always a collection of them. So Ainge knows that much. We all do. So now he's got to pick. He's straddling it. And to me, you're gonna have to give up the young guys and invest in Anthony Davis to try to win a title.
Mike and Drake, it another quick Bruins take, please.
Hey, guys, first-time caller. Listen, Tampa Bay is clearly the most talented team in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion, anyway. You think the Bruins should finish the first wild card and get out of that bracket in the playoffs?
I think it would help them, kind of, but then you run into Holtby, who owns you.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's either, I think when you start doing that, I don't know, the Patriots have done it before in non-Super Bowl years. You start trying to cherry-pick your playoff opponent, I don't know, it's sort of dangerous. And then, I mean, they're not in danger of falling out of the playoffs because they're pretty firmly in that seventh or eighth spot there if they fall behind. But I don't know. I don't think playing, the Pittsburgh Penguins or Holtby and the Capitals is any bargain there.
So right now, though, you get the Islanders, right?
Yeah.
So you get the Islanders in the first round.
And maybe roll the dice that something happens there and Washington loses?
To Pittsburgh, and then here comes the Penguins. You've had some decent playoff success in the past, but they've won two cups recently.
Like, Toronto's gutless, and Anderson stinks, though, too.
Okay, so that's the first round. The second round, here comes Tampa.
Yeah.
They're not going to beat Tampa. Look, the bottom line is they're probably not beating any of those teams. Like, you know, I mean, I'd rather take my chance with the Islanders in the first round. If you can negotiate that, I would do that.
Then your engineering losses. It's just sort of playing with fire on that one. We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Real quick thought, Maz, on all the coaching movement there with the Patriots.
Yeah.
I'm just as confused as you, Mike.
I generally don't talk about the rejoin music. It's actually an upgrade. I'll take this over the metal stuff that we want. All right, so they've had a lot of coaches walk out the door. And, you know, and I'll just tell you again, the guys that they're bringing in, I hate. But this is, let me just tell you up front, I don't think it's going to make a difference. Right? Because it turns out nothing makes a difference. You're so good and everybody sucks so bad, nothing matters. Go to practice, don't go to practice. Show up in the spring, don't show up in the spring. Sleepwalk through the year, don't sleepwalk through the year. Hire good coaches or crappy ones, or the kids are crappy ones. It doesn't matter. So this isn't a statement on what the team's going to do, because nothing's going to change what the team's going to do. The team's going to do well. But Greg Schiano, Brett Bielema, and now freaking Mike Lombardi's kid?
Yep, Mick Lombardi.
Never mind the two kids that Bill already has on the staff.
Yo, Mick.
It's just Bobo Central. Like, I don't like the look of it. Is it going to matter? No. So should I care? No. But it is a Felger and Maz show. So it is the world according to Felger and Maz. And I don't know how you feel about it, folks, but if you work at a company or know a company where the whole masthead is just the old man's kids and nieces and nephews and his snot-nosed friends from the neighborhood, how do you feel about that company?
No, not great. And look, this is the biggest overhaul that they've ever had in the near 20 years that he's been running the joint. And it's five coaches out the door in like the last week.
Okay, so
this is the part that interests me.
So the guy's coming in just sort of bug me because it's just all
a lot of nepotism. I'm
all
with you
just
on that.
Doing. Greg Schiano put his kid out, made him the long snapper at Rutgers. So here comes Greg Schiano, and he and Lombardi are bobos. And so y'all hire your kid and like whatever. Like I just don't like it. But the more interesting piece is the number of coaches out the door. Some of whom, several of whom, are lateral moves.
Correct.
Their quarterback coach left to Miami on a lateral move to be the assistant
Schlapinski.
I think the assistant quarterback coach.
Correct, yeah.
Where Jim Caldwell, remember the old head coach of the Indy Colts? He's the quarterback coach of Miami, and this Schlapinski left to be his assistant, where he's the quarterback coach here. You just lost your D-line coach to go to Kansas City to be the D-line coach for Spagnuolo, like a whole different program, a whole different thing. So what's all this about?
So, look, to me, I wonder where it's all going. That's what I say. And look, a year ago at this time, I told you I didn't think Bill Belichick was coming back. Now I do. Right now I do think he's coming back. But I look at this, his staff. Doesn't it feel like a transitional staff? And when I say transitional staff, Schiano was a guy who came in from outside the organization, was a former head coach in college. Bielma was a head coach in college. This guy Lombardi, I don't know anything about. You got guys jumping out to take lateral moves. It feels to me like they're, you know, transitioning to something. Like, I don't want to sit here and be that guy that tells you every year is Bill Belichick's last year.
Josh runs the offense. Schiano runs the defense.
I mean,
they both have head coaching experience. They're both experienced guys, and that's what it is going forward.
So what are you saying?
Is that what you're saying? Well, you said it's like a transitional thing. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, no, that Bill's getting ready for the end.
Yeah, and then what they're transitioning to is Josh runs the offense, Schiano runs the defense. Josh is the head coach, but like that's how it's going to work going
forward. Yeah, something like that. Right, exactly. Okay, so we were on the same page. You confused me there for a second. But I do. I think it's headed to that. That's what it feels like it's going toward. And I don't know. You sit here all the time. Bill's end's coming sooner or later. I mean, probably sooner. I maybe he's going to coach till he's 75, but I doubt it.
The end is near.
Thank you, Colin.
And so, I'm not sitting here telling you it's in the mid of amid dissension and anything else, the palace queue or anything of the like. But since when do they bring in guys from the outside?
Well, since Bill's repaying favors, I guess. I don't know. Like, that's his deal. But the exodus, though, is interesting. I never thought Bill was leaving either. So I don't think that's happening. But that would be one explanation that there's a new guy coming in. He wants his own staff. And so these assistants are leaving for lateral positions because they don't have a place under the new guy's staff. Like that would be sort of a tip off. And I think some people sort of thought that initially. I mean, I don't think that's the case, but it is sort of weird. And it's not going to catch up. It's not going to matter.
So I'm not worried about it affecting them when Bill's here. Bill's still going to coach a team. He controls everything anyway. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Fine. Whoever it is, they'll do what he tells them to do or they'll be gone.
How do you feel about Josh as head coach, Schiano as defensive coordinator?
I don't like it. I don't like either one. I told you, I don't feel great about Josh McDaniels. Now, that said, I would go outside. I would break from Belichick completely because I think whoever inherits that one, good luck. Try living up to those standards.
See, I don't agree with that.
Is Brady still here? Is that the quarterback? And if those two are in charge, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not fans of them where they've been elsewhere, but I think it works here.
People keep forgetting, and I think you do too, Maz, that George Seifert took over for Bill Walsh and won two Super Bowls and kept that thing going another 8 years or whatever it was, and then Mariucci took over from there and still had success after that.
He had the quarterback.
But keeping that same, just because you follow a legend doesn't necessarily mean you're port. Again, Phil Bengston was a guy that followed Green Bay, followed Lombardi in Green Bay, and he's known as like that next guy. You never want to be Phil Bengston. But that's not the way it is in every case. If you've got a good program and you can find a guy that keeps it going, I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, to me, it's more about the quarterback than it is about the coach, I think. And so, you know, let's see. I don't know, maybe again. It just feels like a transitional year to me. And if they draft a quarterback this year, high, relatively high, I think that that might be some level of confirmation. Like, they're going to let Josh pick the quarterback, or maybe Bill picks the quarterback, but they give him a year to transition in, because who knows where Brady's going to be a year from now. You got to start getting ready for that again.
Okay.
I mean, I would have gotten ready for it last year, but they didn't.
We've exhausted most everything we had to get to today on a reentry Monday. I was going to say agenda free Friday, but it's kind of like that. So a lot to unpack from the weekend. We even gave you a Red Sox take. If you want to circle back to that, you can. They open up tomorrow, pitchers and catchers. Other than that, the Celtics, just disaster over the weekend and where they stand as a team. That's obviously the lead topic. You got Bruins thoughts. You got thoughts on this new football league and that Patriots take right there. To your thoughts on all of it. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't talk to the players about the trade deadline. I think they're all aware of what's going on. We just try to deal every day with, you know, the lineup we have. How can we get better? Do we move pieces around? That's it. I try to stay in the moment. No different than any other day. Of course, when I go home tonight, I'm thinking, I wonder if we'll trade for Panarin tonight. You know, you know, I'm human. But that's it, right? And then it's gone. Then I'm cooking burgers or something at home, or a fish, you know. So I don't concern myself with it a whole lot.
Again, that's a couple days old, but I love it to death. Cassidy's so honest. He doesn't even know it. Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to do that. You're not allowed to talk about players on another team. He even had to talk about Panarin joining his team. He had where he was playing.
Panarin would play right wing,
thank
not
you.
Center, though.
Yeah, no, thanks.
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, if he did that in the NFL or the NBA, he'd get his ass fined. I don't know what they're doing in the NHL, if there's sort of a more casual standard there. And I don't mean to get him in trouble or anything, but
it's blatant.
Oh, it's tremendous.
No.
Panarin would play right wing, not center, though.
Where would you have Stone at?
What if play we right wing, not center,
okay,
though.
How about Simmons? We put him on PP1 or PP2?
Play right wing, not center, though.
No, really, though. Yeah, we were just talking about trading Krug to Ottawa for Mark Stone. It crosses
play
my mind.
Right wing, not center, though.
Well, I'm flipping burgers.
He talks like a guy that's had like three beers.
No, it's tremendous.
Like, just loose tongue.
But again, I just don't think you're allowed to do that. But so we talked some Bruins, their trade deadline's 2 weeks from today. Do you know they have the seventh best record in the league? Seventh. They're a top 10 team. You wouldn't know it because their division's so good. They're third or fourth in their division. You know, it's a night-to-night thing. They've been in that fourth spot most of the year in their division. But that's the seventh best in the league. Points percentage is how they, you know, determine that because of the games played and everything. They have a seventh best record in the league. So do you have to treat them a little bit more as a contender at that deadline? And it doesn't have to be Panarin, because that's a huge cost, and like that's a whole complicated thing. But my thing today is, can you go out and get some third-line talent? Because that's been from day one, you knew you didn't have a third line, from day one. And now we're in the middle of February, and you still don't have a third line. You've dipped to 27th in the league in 5-on-5 scoring. But basically, if your first line or your power play doesn't score, you're porked. And a big thing there is you have no third line, none. And those third-liners are not expensive, and they're out there, and they're floating around. It's just identifying them. So it's time they make at least that move. That would be a crime if they don't make that move.
I mean, that one should be easy, right?
Then we can discuss Panarin or anything like that.
I mean, in terms of the bigger moves, do you have any fear that they may have already missed their chance?
Well,
and when I say that, I mean that some of these young guys don't have the value that they had a year ago.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Yep.
Like, I just wonder.
No, I mean, even a guy like DeBrusque has lost some value.
I mean, you know, Forsbacka Carlson has been up a couple of times now. That didn't pan out. Donato's been up and down. That hasn't worked out. Bjork's hurt. It feels like his value may never get there. Like, you know.
Frederick's up. Didn't look like anything. You know, there's a bunch of them. Absolutely right.
I mean, do you want to move McAvoy? Because I don't.
Nope. It's just when he's finally starting to play well again. So, no, that's a fair point, Maz. All right. So anyway, that's one of the items today on a reentry Monday. Jake in Florida, go ahead. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah. So actually, I think the solution to finding a third-by center is Riley Nash. He has the same AAV as John Moore, whose contract we would love to get out from under. So we have plenty of left shot D coming. And honestly, if we got to the playoffs and we had to play Zach Enainen for third D minute.
Okay. So the thing is, and again, your phone isn't good enough. You're going to trade back for Riley Nash after you lost him in free agency. I think he's got a. Did he sign 4x4, something like that?
I don't even know.
And he's had a nothing year. I don't know if. That would surprise me. I wouldn't want to. No. I don't want that contract.
No, if you're going to take on money, it's going to be for a stud.
Yeah, I don't want to take on that contract. He's not worth it. He had a contract year last year and he got overpaid. The whole reason he's in Columbus is because you don't want to pay him that. Now you're going to have to give something up to bring him back to pay him that? No. Find the next Riley Nash. That's the whole idea. That's what Chris Kelly, Riley Nash, and those guys are there for. To not pay, to maximize their value, and then move on and get the next guy. You make the mistake, Shirelli, when you think Chris Kelly is something and you overpay him.
And you give him $4 million a year.
Right, like what Columbus just did with Riley Nash.
Right, they're worth $1.5 million.
Exactly, and you those are disposable razors. You just got to go find the guy. So that should be there. That should be attainable. Mark and Beverly on the new AAF. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Timing's everything with that thing. And if you televise football in the spring with baseball being down like it is and sports betting coming to its fruition here, develop a video game, hook it onto the fantasy train, and, this thing could definitely take off.
Okay.
What do you guys think about that?
I don't think it will because they're never going to have any good players. The only contract you can sign is 3 years for a total of $250,000. I'm not sneezing at that money for the rest of us, but to get top flight pro football talent, you can't pay him $85,000 a year. That's not going to work. So to me, again, I don't want to keep...
It's tiered. They actually don't get the brunt of that money till the third year.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's 70 grand up front for year one.
Okay, so like the model's the USFL, but just don't get stupid. Don't get stupid. You can have one name player a team, a couple of name players a team that make a couple million bucks, and then I'd fill out the rest of the roster with regional talent in football markets where people want to watch these college players, but they can't make the NFL. And the quarterbacks are easy. Like, again, Tebow in the Jacksonville franchise, Johnny Manziel in Dallas.
Or if this Kyler Murray's too small in flames, exactly, I'll put him somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
A million running backs or some of these innovative coaches with their goofy offenses. The USFL almost worked. It should have worked. And I still think it would because I think that the caller's right about this part of the sports calendar. There's a void there.
Sure there is, yeah.
And we'll just put it on. This AAF, we'll just put it on.
I'll tell you, I love the video game idea, too, where you can do all the stuff you can't do in the NFL games. Like a video game where you can actually obliterate the quarterback. I bet that would sell.
We got Philip and Melrose. Same thing. Go ahead, Philip.
Hey, guys. I'm curious. With the NFL investing in the AAF and being able to farm from it, like you said, you also have cities like San Antonio and St. Louis who either have a stadium or want a team. I'm curious, what are the chances of relegation being a prospect, maybe implementing those cities to have teams? Or is this just a subject you don't want to broach?
No, Philip, we just can't do what you people do. I would love it. Believe me, I would love it. But Americans don't get relegation. Ain't going to happen.
I wish we would, though.
I love the idea.
Of course. Of course.
Tell me that wouldn't work in every sport.
Oh, my God. Talk about eliminate tanking.
Oh, completely. You completely get rid of tanking.
This is why those, European soccer leagues, you don't have tanking. You got to fight. The bottom four teams have to fight, or else the next thing you know, your entire franchise is playing the Pawtucket schedule.
One of the things
that's what they do.
I know. It's great. I love it.
I don't get about this AAF league, though, is some of the cities that they put these teams in. Atlanta needs another football team when they really don't even care about the Falcons in the first place. Why does Arizona have one? Even though they might have been the best team I watched all weekend, they drew like 100 people there. You can't go in NFL cities.
I would say generally that's true. I would try and keep it close to college hotbeds. And I would take those college stars that would have to go to Canada or whatever that, I mentioned.
There is one in Birmingham. Like, that's a good play.
Right, exactly. So, Atlanta, I don't know. Do people care that much about Georgia that if you populated it with the schmuckola Georgia? Who was the Georgia quarterback last year?
Strom.
Where's he at?
Oh, he's still
gonna,
in.
Yeah, he's still in. He's going to be like a top three pick when he comes out.
I was thinking about the other guy. Is there another guy before that?
Well, Aaron Murray, who was a few years ago, and he's in this league, and he stinks in this,
too. Okay, so that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
He is he on the Atlanta team?
No, he's on one of the, I think, Orlando, and he's the backup there.
Okay, but sort of, but that's the idea. Like, would you go turn out for guy in your, and we don't get this here because we don't care about college football here, and we're stuck with Boston College. But, you know, in a place that matters with a team that matters?
No, and stuck with is the right term.
No, that's sort of the idea. I still think, bring back the USFL. Bring it back. I'd be a huge supporter.
BC, so important they get to a bowl game and then they cancel it because of weather. That is the best story of the year. Yeah, BC gets to a bowl game. There's a little bit of lightning. Oh, you know what? We got to go home. No good. It's a little too scary. That is awesome. Nice football program you got there.
We're going to bang it because of rain. People care so little about your program. A little rain and they say, that's it. Don't worry about it. No one cares.
We might get wet. You know what? Bang it up. Let's just go to the Cheesecake Factory. Let's go get dinner. And better yet, let's go get a steak. You losers. Oh, that is awesome.
We continue. Reentry Monday, lead story, the Celtics, and that absolute disaster from the weekend and where that team stands right now. We'll get back to that after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.